let's sing the last verse together, number 481. Living for Jesus. Seated. It is a joy to have Pastor and Mrs. Eagles with us this weekend, and we're so thrilled when we decided to do a few Bethel nights, as we're calling them, and have some of our young men that have gone out from Bethel and preaching now. The first person I thought of was Brother Eagles and his family, so we're so thankful they're here tonight. Let me encourage you, we have put the drop box out in the lobby. If you'd like to make a gift to them, you may drop that in there, and it's on the welcome table. If you'd like to do that, we know that they would appreciate that so much, and that would be a real blessing to them. So Pastor and Mrs. Eagles, at this time, they're going to come and sing for us, so we're going to ask them, Mrs. Eagles, to join her husband on the platform.
Wicked men on every hand, violence is spread throughout the land, darkness is falling on sinking sand.
But there's a light that shines still brighter, let every Christian take their stand.
God is not dead, He is alive, He's in command. God is still holy, God is still pure, His name is perfect, His word is sure. Nothing shall ever stain His righteousness, nothing shall ever mar His holiness. Our God is holy forever and ever. He will endure. Darker days are still ahead, as the world to hell is led.
Christians, don't falter, lift up your heads,
for our redemption draws still nearer. Jesus our Lord is ever dearer. He shall return, victor or all, just like He said. God is still holy, God is still pure, His name is perfect, His word is sure. Nothing shall ever stain righteousness, nothing shall ever mar His holiness. Our God is holy forever and ever, He will endure. Nothing shall ever stain His righteousness. righteousness. Nothing shall ever mar his holiness. Our God is holy forever and ever. He will endure. Our God is pure.
Take our hymn books again, please. 149. Until then, my heart will go on singing. Let's stand so the choir can join us in our seats tonight. 149.
Yeah.
Many of you don't know this, what I'm about to share with you. Many years ago, it was 2006, and my father had a bad heart attack, and Pastor Bowman was in Israel at the time. And during that time, Pastor Eagles came to the hospital to be with my mom, and some others from the church were there. And over the next few days, he, in every sense, was my mom's pastor while Pastor Bowman was away. And my wife and I commented at that time, Jason and Faith would make a great pastor's couple one day. And we could see that in them even back then. And so when the Lord began to move in our heart in 2009, we knew immediately who should be the first candidate for the pastor of Faith Baptist Church. And the transition has not been really easy at times. They've gone through some storms. But we thank the Lord that today God is using them and kept them there. Lillian Robertson calls us from time to time. And she says that Pastor Eagles is working incredibly hard and lots of new faces at the church. So that's exciting to hear. And so we're thrilled that they have are there 4 years now. And time flies so quickly, but we are thankful for the Eagles family and what God is doing. I have asked them to prepare a little bit for us tonight, a video or some pictures that they could share. The point of these nights is so we know how better to pray for those that have gone out from us and those churches that we love and pray for regularly. We want to give you an idea how you can better pray for them. And so Brother Eagles is going to come with a testimony at this time, and then he's going to share his video. And so would you pay attention and would you begin to pray for the needs that they have in their church?
Well, it's a privilege to be here. It feels like 4 years tonight, and I say that because you leave and things change. And I walked in, the auditorium looks different. I looked for the orange, and I found one patch right here. It's a secret. Don't tell anybody. All right? But it makes me feel like it's still a little bit of home, and it's so good to see so many familiar faces. Good to see all of you again. The video that we're going to show here is just some slideshow, just some pictures of some of our different events and things that have happened, and really highlights some of the great things, some of the good things. Of course, like Pastor Free said, there's always struggles, there's always difficulties in every ministry, but we're so thankful for the faithfulness that God has shown to us and the grace that God has shown to us. I've also tried to include in the video some pictures that shows the ways that Bethel has been a specific blessing to us. You'll see some pictures there of the sign that used to be here that's now at our church. You'll see that. You'll see a bunch of pictures really highlighting our Vacation Bible School over this last summer and see some of the things that have been. We had a great time, some great results, and we thank the Lord for it. But you're going to see some of those things in there. I hope it'll give you a little bit of a bridge tonight from where it was. It'll show you a few pictures of when we first went, and you'll see me when I was skinnier and younger, all right? And those things are all in there, but hopefully give you a little bit of a bridge of some of the things that have happened over the last few years. So we're going to go ahead and show that at this time, and then we'll continue with the service.
Thank you.
I didn't even do anything yet. There, I got it. You know, I remember when I was here before, the sound system was never my friend. I don't know why that was, but it seems to be the way it goes. Well, I hope you enjoyed those few photos from our church and just give you a little bit of a glimpse as to some of the things that are going on. You know, as far as the testimony, the church is doing well. It's healthy and strong. Normally on a Sunday morning, we'd have about 80 people, and consistently, thankfully, seeing souls saved. I had a lady this morning that came to me and asked me about joining the church, and so we're seeing consistent progress. I really thank the Lord for that, and so thankful for all the good things that God has done for us and continues to do. I want to thank you, you know, for your prayers, of course, for us and for our family. I appreciate that. It's always an encouragement to get little texts or notes or different things from people here. I want to thank you as well for the blessing you've been to my sister-in-law, Colette, and she's doing well, and we thank the Lord for that, and she's been in her own house now for a little over a month. And I just want to thank you and so many churches that have been a blessing to her through this hard time. And we all, at different times in our life, are going to go through heartbreaking times and difficult times, and even times in life that we really don't understand in any way, shape, or form. And what a blessing it is when people love and care and to do something to alleviate the struggle that you're going through. And thank you so much for the blessing you've been. And I really do consider it a privilege to have friends back here and familiar friends and faces that I look forward to seeing here tonight. Let's find our Bibles together and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I do hope as we look together in the Word of God tonight that your heart will be stirred and challenged towards the things of God. And as I was preparing and praying about what message to preach tonight, I really wanted to include a thought that would be both a testimony and also a challenge. And as I was looking and praying, I came across this message and something that God spoke to my heart about and challenged me with, and I hope to share it with you as well this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you can stay seated as I read. I'm going to read verses 4 through 9, then I'll pray and we'll get into the Word of God together tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we look together tonight in the Word of God, I pray that you would challenge every one of our hearts. Lord, that we wouldn't come to the service without leaving stirred and without leaving changed. Lord, the reality is tonight every one of us needs you desperately. Whether or not we recognize that or believe that or act like in our lives may be different, but Lord, I testify in my own heart and life at this moment, I am in desperate need of you. Desperate need for you to work in our midst, to challenge our hearts, to make us the servants of God that we need to be. Lord, help us to learn from you this evening, from the Word of God as we look through it together. We thank you for this time and pray that it would be profitable. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. I want to challenge you this evening with this thought, understanding and applying the faithfulness of God. Understanding and applying the faithfulness of God. Now, I'm challenging our church this year with the concept of being found faithful. And the idea with that is when one day Christ comes back, Christ is going to find us in one state or another. He's either going to find us unfaithful or we're going to be found, Lord willing, and I hope you will be found faithful. But I don't know, if you've been in church for a little while, you probably understand this just as much as I do. Many people have a different concept towards faithfulness. You say the word faithfulness, and a person on this side of the auditorium might think it means completely different than someone on this side of the auditorium. Might have a completely and totally different concept. It's like when you walk in and your boss tells everyone, I want you to be on time for work. Have you ever noticed that sometimes different people have a different concept towards what that means? For some, it may mean they're 30 minutes early. They're going to make sure they're well on time for work. For others, it means anywhere within the hour is on time. And it's such a joy when you're the person that has to hold on to the shift until they get there. But what I'm trying to help you understand is we all have different concepts towards different words. And when it comes to this idea of faithfulness, many people have a different idea as to what faithfulness means. Someone might immediately think, as soon as you say the word faithfulness, that means being in church. If I'm in church Sunday mornings, or if I'm in church Sunday night, or if I'm in church three times a week, then I'm faithful. Some might look at the word faithfulness, and they might immediately think of the relationship between maybe a husband and wife. And staying with God your entire life like you should stay with your husband or wife your entire life. But many people, as they look at this word faithfulness, have a very different concept. Now, this passage teaches us a very important truth that I want to make sure we all understand tonight, and that is this. God is the perfect definition of faithfulness. God doesn't just leave this word in Scripture without defining it for us. He doesn't leave it cloudy or leave it so we lack understanding towards this concept. Right in this verse, God basically gives us the definition of what faithfulness is. At that end, in verse 9, it says this, God is faithful. You know what that means? You can put God on this side, you can put faithfulness on this side, you can put an equal sign in between the two of them, and you would have a perfect concept of faithfulness. Understand this, the more we understand about God, the more we understand what faithfulness is for us. And what's so important for us this evening is to take a microscope on the character of God. And as we closely examine it, to also put a microscope on our character and say, God, does your faithful character line up with my faithful character? Because I hope tonight, if you're a believer, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've made that most important decision, that you hope one day when you stand before God to be found faithful. As we look at this tonight, I want you to understand and catch a glimpse, I pray, of the character and the person of God. God is always our supreme example in all things, for everything in our life. And God makes sure that we understand he is faithful. I'd like to read to you a few verses that challenge us about the faithfulness of God. Thus saith the Lord, Isaiah 49 and verse 7, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship. Notice this, because of the Lord that is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. Hebrews 10 and verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that is promised. See, understand this, God wants us to see that the perfect definition, the perfect understanding of faithfulness is seen in the character of God. Now, I hope you can say as an individual, not just through the Scripture, but also in your own life, that you've experienced that God is faithful. And let me tell you this, by way of testimony tonight, with every hill, with every valley I have been through, I have seen that God is faithful. What an amazing concept that God never leaves us. That God is always there. That God always gives grace. Understand this. Whenever you need to count on God, God is there to be counted on. I had someone ask me, how faithful should I be? I asked them this, how faithful do you want God to be to you? Because often we fall short of examining what true faithfulness is. Now, what I want you to understand tonight, when we catch a full glimpse of the faithfulness of God, when we see it for everything that it is, it ought to put a heart cry in us that says this, if God is that faithful to me, then I want to be that faithful to him. In some way, I want to respond properly to the faithfulness of God to me. As we look here in this passage, it gives us some truth, some help, some encouragement along this line of making sure we properly understand and use the faithfulness of God. Look in verse 4 with me. It says this, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle is writing to this Corinthian church, and he thanks God for them. He thanks God on their behalf because he can see that God is faithful to give grace in their life. See, we have a Heavenly Father that delights in giving grace to his people. That means today, basically as a person, whatever you need to get through today and to lead a life that is pleasing to God, God desires to give it to you. Not only does he desire to give it to you, he has given it to us. Everything, all grace, everything we need to survive today spiritually. Now, if you ever get up in the morning and say, I'm not going to be able to make it through today, it's a reminder that we need to go back to the grace of God. Because Paul is seeing here, and he's seeing this church, he says, I am thankful because I can see that God is giving grace to you. His heart explodes in a feeling of thankfulness as he meditates on what this church has. Now understand this, not one of us today deserve grace. And often we are not thankful for what we think we already deserve. You know, it kind of makes me laugh. We're growing up in this generation. I don't know if you noticed it. Maybe it's just in our city. But you have a generation of people that think they deserve a lot for doing absolutely nothing. And I don't know what it is. People think that they deserve to have a certain paycheck without working at all. They deserve that the government should give them a certain amount of money. They think they should have a certain kind of lifestyle. And when they don't get it, they get angry. When they do get it, they're not thankful for it. When they don't get what they think they do deserve, it puts them in a place that they don't properly understand what they have been given. Almost like a spoiled child at Christmas, so many people are not thankful for what is right in front of them. Understand this, when someone is thankful, not only do they respond in thankfulness, but they use what they're given. You know, if I'm given something for Christmas that I really like, chances are I will probably use it. You know, I've noticed our kids after Christmas, the toys they play with the most is the ones they like the most. Pretty complicated, isn't it? I think we can all understand that concept. When there's something that we're thankful for, we use it as a part of our life. It's instrumental to our life. And see, here Paul is writing to this church, and he's reminding them that God is consistently giving you grace. I want you to understand where we're going here with this so far. We have God, the Heavenly Father, standing on one side, leaning over to his people, and consistently giving people everything they need to survive spiritually. That means any trouble you'll face, anything you will go through, any obstacle, any spiritual growth that you need to attain to, God is standing over here, and he is faithfully giving grace. We ought to be standing here saying, thank you, God, and using the grace that God has given to us. And see here, this passage as it's writing, he's challenging them, look, I am so thankful, and he's writing to them. And I wonder as I read the passage, is he almost thanking on their behalf? Because he's not sure if they're thankful enough. And he's reminding them for this thankfulness that ought to be towards the grace of God. You know, James 1 and verse 17 says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. See, sometimes in life, we expect to have things good. But when things go wrong, we get frustrated. Can I ask you this? Why is it that we think we deserve a good life? You know, you see the commercial that'll come across for Good Life Fitness in our area. Maybe you don't get it. Have the good life. Everybody out there thinks they deserve the good life. And then as soon as life goes sideways, as soon as they get sick, as soon as there's a problem with their finances, they grow up and they go, oh, I can't believe this is happening to me. Instead of every day that we have air to breathe, legs to walk on, and an opportunity to serve the Lord, being thankful for it. And you see what Paul is trying to say? He's trying to paint this picture of the Heavenly Father passing down grace to his children. He wants them to understand you ought to be thankful for that. That ought to be something that you care about, something that motivates you and changes you. He goes on there in verse 5, and he challenges them why. He says this in verse 5, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. See, this grace is not pointless. It's not God just giving us a comfortable pillow for the difficulty of life. God's grace is to change us as people. It's that God's grace, God's spiritual help for our daily needs would get into our life and change the people that we are. He's saying here that it would enrich you in all things, that in everything you're enriched by him. You know, it's pretty common in our area that sometimes we'll get a phone call or someone will come knocking by the door and they'll have something that is going to fix everything in your life. You ever had somebody like that? Says, you take this pill and it is going to fix everything. You have pain, it'll fix your pain. You have sniffles, it'll fix your sniffles. You take this and that, and it's a cure-all for everything. See, understand, this is the picture that God is painting of grace. Grace gets into our life and enriches everything. It changes every problem, every difficulty that we might face. You understand, God changes everything in your life. It can change your home life. It can change your job life. It can make every area of our life enriched and changed through the work of God. And as Paul is writing to this church, he's saying this grace that God is giving you is enriching you. It's to help you. It's to change you. First thing he says, you're enriched in all utterance. In all utterance. You know, I'm very thankful that God sometimes changes the words that I want to say. Sometimes something that might have come across your brain that you shouldn't say, and the grace of God gives you a different utterance. You understand how powerful words are in your life. You know, words have stopped wars and started wars. Words have put together homes and broke apart homes. Words can be a bomb in a difficult day, and they can also be your greatest aggravation on a hard day. You understand that God needs to get his grace into our heart so that God's grace can change our tongue. It's not uncommon for someone to sit down with me at one time or another, and maybe it's difficulty in their marriage, maybe it's difficulty with one of their children, and they'll sit down and they'll say this, Pastor, I didn't mean it, but this is what I said. Look, can I challenge you with this? It only takes one day not walking in the grace of God to say something we should never say. And unless you're a spiritual giant, you're probably a lot like me. I realize when I get up in the morning, I need to be faithful to God because I need God's grace to get through today. Because unless God gets a hold of our tongue, our utterance will be anything but enriched. And you'll go to work and someone will say something they shouldn't say and you'll fly off the handle. You'll get a phone call from one of your family and they'll say something to you that'll boil you the wrong way and something will come out of your mouth and we destroy relationships instead of enriching relationships because God is giving grace but we are not thankful enough to make sure it is enriching our life. You see, God wants to enrich our utterance.
He wants to change the words that we sing. The next thing God says here, he wants to enrich us in all knowledge. Enrich us in all knowledge. You know, life is so much about making, and I heard this since I was a little kid. Life is about making the right choices. Jason, don't make the wrong choices, my parents used to say. Make the right choices, you know, do the right thing, go to the right place. And every time a big decision would come, you know, some of those big three, you know, who you're going to marry, where you're going to work, your first job, where you're going to buy your first house, all of those things, you get under emotional strain because it was this: make sure you make the right choices. Now, every one of us, doesn't matter how young or old we are, we have a future in our life that there's going to come choices that we've never made before. You know, chances are you might get up tomorrow and have to make a decision that could have an impact in your life that you've never made before. Any one of us that are 30 years old today are 30 for the first time. If you're 40 today, you're 40 for the first time, 50 for the first time, 16 for the first time. We don't get a chance in life to make mistakes and then say, I just want to do a do-over. Thankful for the grace of God that God can fix problems. Thankful that although we make mistakes, God always pulls us back to ourselves. But understand this, poor decisions can derail your life. And we want to make sure as we're walking down the road of life that we're making the right decisions. A lot of people say this, make sure you learn from your mistakes. Now that's all good and great. But let me ask you this. Wouldn't God rather give us knowledge so that we don't make those mistakes? You see, you know why we need to get up and be faithful in the Word of God every day? It's because that day might present a decision that you haven't made before that could make or break you spiritually. And so many people, not being thankful for the grace of God, don't use the grace of God. And one day, make one decision that destroys their life. It only takes one day of infidelity to destroy your marriage. It does. It only takes one time falling back into a sin habit. It only takes one time sitting in front of the television or the computer or watching something you should not watch to derail you spiritually. One day of bad decisions. And you know what, I don't know about you, but the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And I know if I get up in the morning and I don't have the grace of God, that the decisions that I am going to make are going to be in my knowledge instead of God's knowledge. But as I get into the grace of God, as God gives me for that day what is absolutely necessary for my spiritual life, God is faithful to give grace to enrich me in wisdom and in knowledge. And let me understand you, whatever your decisions may be today, God is able and God will give us the knowledge if we will seek after it. Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 says this, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Verse 3 says this, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know what? We've never and never will be able to see 30 seconds in front of our own life. We don't know what's coming tomorrow. I don't know what's coming tomorrow. I don't know what decisions I might have to make tomorrow. I've learned this. I'm a young pastor, but it doesn't take very long and someone picks up the phone call and calls you with something and you go, I better make sure I'm giving the right advice. I better make sure I'm saying the right thing. I better make sure when I sit down with that person that isn't sure whether or not they're saved, that I give them the right knowledge and that I have the right thing to say. But understand, that does not happen apart from the grace of God. And whatever your life may be today, we need to be in the place that we understand we have a God that is faithful to give grace unto his people because he is desirous to enrich our life, to change these important parts of our character, our utterance and our knowledge. That is God's design for the grace that he has given to us. As you look back in this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says in verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. He's saying, understand, this grace is what has brought you to this place in your life, that you are confirmed, that I can see visibly that these people are like Christ. You have already been changed. And verse 7, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in this day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Understand, God does not want anyone to come behind. Look at that expression. It's interesting. Verse 7, so that ye come behind in no gift. You know, often as parents, we are a little painstaking when it comes down before Christmas to make sure that our kids get a relatively equal amount of gifts. Now, to be honest, Hope doesn't have a clue. She has no idea what she's getting. She doesn't even know, this is a gift? Okay, it's a gift. 18 months old, you know, really doesn't capture that idea. But you know what? It matters to us as parents. We don't want anyone to come behind. Now, see, God is looking at your life today, and as he's giving grace, this is his desire. He doesn't want anyone to come behind spiritually. He doesn't want any person in this room to fall short of everything that God wants you to be. He's saying he's going to confirm you to that, and he's going to continue to give you that support structure of grace until you get to the end of your life when you meet the Lord and to be in the place that God finds you faithful. And he's saying along that path, he's going to continue to confirm you, and he's going to do everything in his power to make sure you don't fall behind. So it begs us to ask the question, why is it that some fall behind? Why is it when we have a Heavenly Father that keeps giving grace to enrich the lives of people so that people would have the right utterance, so that people would have the right knowledge, and God's desire is that no one would come behind? Why is it that sometimes, obviously, people make major mistakes or do things to displease God or backslide out of church or stay away from their own personal devotions? Why do these things happen? Look what it says in our passage. It says, who will confirm you to the end that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, God is faithful. You see, he wants to make sure they understand God is standing on one side of this equation. Into this relationship, he is dumping grace so that no person would come behind. We are on the other side of this equation. And the question is, how will we use that grace? You know, when it comes to being faithful, the reason we need to read our Bibles every day is because we need God's grace for that day. The reason we need to be in church faithfully is because God is giving out grace during the service for you that may just be exactly what you need for your life. We need to be faithful to pray without ceasing, to spend time in prayer throughout the day, because we recognize that if God is handing out grace to enrich my life, I want to make sure I'm thankful and using that grace. It's funny for me, and I almost sit back and watch after Christmas, we see the Boxing Day sales. Now, I'm not going to ask today how many people went Boxing Day shopping. I don't know if I've ever been Boxing Day shopping. I don't know if I ever will go Boxing Day shopping. But I enjoy waiting for the news. Sometimes in laughter, sometimes sadly, of the crazy things that happen on Boxing Day. You know what I mean? The older man that is trying to buy a TV and some younger man just takes it out of his hands. And just kind of go, how desperate are people to save $20? But they are. And then you hear this last year we had some people that were trampled in a store because people wanted what was being offered. It amazes me that people go out in our Canadian winters, like tonight, and stand out in line sometimes for hours to get $30 or $40 or $50 off something. Now, I'm not going to get after you if you go boxing to a shop or not. That really isn't what I'm going for. Well, I understand this. When people want something that is being offered, they get in line for it. And what amazes me is that God is saying here very clearly, He is standing over here faithfully giving grace, faithfully handing out the exact help that we need to get through every day of our life, to say the right words, to make the right decisions, in the right knowledge. And people, for some reason, don't think it's important to get in line for the grace of God. You know what I mean? Our alarm clock goes off, and you say, I'm just going to hit snooze for another 20 minutes. I'll do my devotions later, when I get a chance, when I get an opportunity. And the day rolls through, you get to the very end of the day, and you're too tired, and you go to sleep. They say, I'll get to it tomorrow. Now understand this, God had grace for you for that day. He had something as a heavenly Father He wanted to hand out to us, but although He is faithful to give us everything we need, we're sometimes not faithful to take exactly what we need. People say, well, you know what? I don't feel like going to church this morning. And exactly the message that they needed, they miss. I'm sure if I asked your pastor, it's funny, sometimes a message or something that'll happen, maybe a special speaker or something you'll have in, and you look around afterwards, and the message, you'll go, oh, so-and-so, oh, they missed it. That's exactly what they asked me about last week, and they weren't here for it. Look, understand, if God is faithfully giving out grace, and in so many aspects He does, He gives grace through His word, He gives grace through getting together with other believers, He gives you grace through your prayer life with Him. If He is faithful to hand it out, should we not be in line to make sure we're getting everything that God is giving? See, faithfulness is dependent on the character of God. He is faithful. Every day when I need grace and every day when you need grace, God is there dumping buckets into our life. So much that no person will ever come behind of standing before God blameless. That is His intention. But the question is not whether or not God is faithful to give grace. The question is, are we thankful enough to make sure we're using it? And can I challenge you today, every opportunity you have to get grace from God is one that you ought to be willing sometimes to stand out in cold weather. Something you ought to be willing to make sure you're willing to get up in the morning for it. If God is giving grace, then we as His people should make sure we are running to get it. The end of this passage says in verse 9, it says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, when God called you from sin, and I hope there's been a time in your life that you recognize that you're a sinner under the condemnation of God, and the time in your life that you've come to trust in Christ as your personal Savior. But God wants to understand, when you make that decision to trust Jesus Christ, you've been called. That means you've been called to a different life. And God is giving you that grace that says here so that you and God can have fellowship. You know what happens when you don't access grace? Very quickly, every one of us slip away from walking with God. And all of a sudden, sometimes too late, we catch ourselves when the utterance has been wrong or when the knowledge has been wrong. But understand this, God's grace is designed for this, so that every day as God faithfully gives grace, that you could faithfully walk in fellowship with Him. And that fellowship is designed so that as a people we don't wreck tragedy in our own spiritual life. This is the question tonight. God is faithful to give grace, but how faithful are we to use the grace of God? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace that you've shown on us through the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, we understand, we know tonight that everything we have is through the person of Jesus Christ, through the redemption that has come because of your shed blood on Calvary. Lord, as we recognize that this evening, we're challenged that as you are faithful to us, that we would also be faithful to you. Heavenly Father, I do not know what needs may be in this congregation tonight, but I know that every one of us can be challenged to make sure that every day we are using all of the grace that you have designed for us to use. Lord, I pray that we'd be honest with you, that we would recognize areas in our life where the grace of God, although given, is not being used the way you've intended it to be. Help us to be faithful as you are faithful. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. Church family, can I ask you a question? Has there ever been a time in your life that you'd recognize the fact that although God is giving grace, maybe right now in your life you're not using it to its full potential? Maybe your utterance is clearly not what it ought to be. Maybe your knowledge for decisions are not what they ought to be. But you'd recognize that as God is faithful to give grace, that God has pricked your heart, that there's an area in your life that you need to make sure you are faithfully using it. Look, if God's speaking to your heart about that tonight, I would love to pray for you. If you just quickly slip your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. That's my need tonight. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. God is giving me grace, and I want to make sure I'm faithful to use it. Amen. Maybe you're here tonight, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. What I mean by that, if today was your last day on earth, you're not sure if you'd spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. Look, if you're not sure, that's something to be concerned about. That's something to take seriously. And look, no one's looking around tonight except for myself. But if that is your need, I sure would love to pray for you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. But I would like to make sure that I can pray for you. If that's your need tonight, would you just quickly sit here and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I sure would like to know. Will you pray for me tonight? Pastor, pray.
Let's stand tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The instruments are beginning to play. If God has spoke to your heart, this altar is open even now. Would you step out and come? Let's do business with the Lord tonight. Father, we are thankful and grateful for the grace of God, and we thank you for your faithfulness tonight. We ask, Lord, that you'd help us to be faithful to you as well. Father, if there's anybody here that hasn't come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, Lord, may today be the day of salvation. May they trust Christ before it's eternally too late. Thank you for the food that's been prepared for us tonight. We pray you'll bless our fellowship to follow. And Father, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Pastor McDonald's going to come with a couple of announcements, and we'll be dismissed before he comes. I just wanted you to know that we are giving a gift to the Faith Baptist Church of Hamilton, and we want to be a blessing to the church, not just the pastor and his wife. And Brother Eagles was sharing with me just before the service that their projector that they use for teaching and different things, is missionary videos and such, needs to be replaced. And so hopefully, Brother Eagles, this will be a help to you to replace that projector, perhaps, or some other project that you have in mind. And then we also have a gift for the Eagles family tonight as well. That's from the church. If you'd like to do something as an individual, we do have the gift box out in the hallway, and you're more than welcome to drop something in there. Also, if you'd like Some people were asking, where do I put, I've written a card for the Eagles. You can open that box and throw it inside as well. You don't have to use the little slot if it's not big enough. The box will just open up with a hinge. All right, so you're more than welcome to put it in there, and we'll give the whole box to them at the end of the night. All right, Pastor McDonald, I'm going to ask Pastor and Mrs. Eagles and Noah and Titus, I guess Hope's not in here, if you would make your way to the lobby, and we'll have you shake hands tonight so folks can greet you. And then I hope you'll come over for the fellowship after and fellowship with the Eagles a little bit more tonight. All right, Lord bless you. Pastor McDonald.
Just a couple of urgent things to, they're coming up soon, and that is the missions conference. So I want to remind you of again. I'll say it again. We have openings. Last I saw, we had 15 openings for people to take a missionary for supper, and that would be a great opportunity, a great blessing for you. Please sign up there, put your name down, and your phone number. We have the winter camp, and that's coming up really soon too. January 31st to the 1st is that first group of ages 16 to 19. So make sure that you fill out the registration forms. Again, they're in the foyer. Cost, as it says there in the bulletin, $75. And that's about it. The rest of it is in your bulletins. You can read it. Please take the opportunity to come over for fellowship and to be a blessing to the Eagles. That was a good message tonight, preaching. And, God's going to use that couple. He already is. Let's continue to pray for them that God continues to bless them. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you again for this opportunity. We ask that you'd send us away safely, Lord. And, Father, as we go next door, as the pastors already pray, we just pray that the food would be there and it'd be a great blessing. But more important than that, the fellowship will be sweet. And, Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you now as you go.